from the milk ocean, who were seething mud from their foreheads out of excitement. We still don't have the Sanskrit for the devotees. So I'm going to just sing the Sanskrit at 15 for now. Fifteen. Hey, Krishna's fine. Always in control. All right. Vrishva sadharyam garudo parishtitam. Suryo parishtat satadi ganam yata. Vishnam satkashmai vyashri chakchatagni. Yodascha sarve yugapaccha vidyadhu. Vishva sadharyam garudo parishtitam. Suryo parishta satadhitanam yata. Krishnam satasmai vyashri jachatagni. Yodascha sarve yugapaccha vidyadhu. Vishvasabharyam garudo parishtitam. Suryo parishtat saditri kananyatam. Krishnam satasmai vyashri chakchatagnim. Yodascha sarve yugapaccha vidyadhu. Vishvasabharyam garudo parishtitam. Suryo parishtat satadhitanam yata. Krishnam satashmai vyashri chakchatagnim. Yodascha sarve yugapaccha vidyadhu. Vrishvasabharyam garudo parishtitam. Suryo parishtat satadhitanam yata. Krishnam satashmai vichashitakshatagnim. Yodascha sarve yugapaccha vidyadhu. Vrishvasabharyam garudo parishtitam. Suryo parishtat satadhitanam yata. Krishnam satasmai vrishi chakchatagnim. Yodascha sarve yugapaccha vidyadhu. Vishvasabharyam garudo parishtitam. Suryo parishtat satadhitanam yata. Vishnam Satashmai Vyajijak Chapadmi. Yodas Chasarve Yugapacha Vivyati. Okay, so word for word. Drishtva, seeing. Sabharyam, with his wife. Garuda Upari, upon Garuda. Shtitam, sitting. Surya, the sun. Uparishtat, higher than. Satadit, with lightning. Ganam, a cloud. Yataha, like. Krishnam, Lord Krishna. Saha, he. Bhama, oh, he, Bhama. Tashmai, at him. Vyashrijat, release. Shatagni, Shatagni, the name of his Shakti spear. Yodaha, his soldiers. Cha, and Sarve, all. Yugapat, simultaneously. Cha, and Vyadhu, attacked. Translation. Lord Krishna and his wife, mounted upon Garuda, looked like a cloud with lightning sitting above the sun. Seeing the Lord, Bhama released his Chatagni weapon at him, whereupon all of Bhama's soldiers simultaneously attacked with their weapons. So everybody repeat? Well, together. Now Krishna and his wife, mounted upon Garuda, looked like a cloud with lightning sitting above the sun. Seeing the Lord, Bhama released his Shatagni weapon at him, upon all the Bhama soldiers simultaneously attacked with their weapons. So as you can see, there are no purports in these verses. So, not the word. There's plenty to talk about. These verses, they're so full of description of Krishna, how Krishna, you know, is such a hero. So I want to start the class, I want to recap a little bit to get to this point, because, you know, we're starting with the seven sons, very angry. And then I want to talk a little bit about Krishna being the hero. And just I picked some of his qualities that relate to this verse. And then there's an image that I want to put up there for all the artists in ISKCON, and that I find is so beautiful. I'll mention that in a minute. Okay, so to recap, Krishna is showing his prowess. He mounted on Garuda with Satyabhama. He came to this fortress, the citadel. It was a fortress. So, you know, so there was even electrified fence that Krishna smashed with his Sudarshana disc. So this is like fire. Sudarshana is like counteract, you know, a fire weapon. And so electricity is no problem for Sudarshana. Nothing is a problem, but, you know, he counteracted that like electric fence with his Sudarshana weapon. And Krishna has all these, you know, arrows that do all different things. So there is a description that, you know, each of the prophets say in a Krishna book that each arrow had a purpose. So he was just shooting all these arrows and nullifying all the fortifications, the protection that Narakasura had set up. And so then when he gets to the earth and getting a little closer, there is a moat. And inside the moat lived a demon called Mura. That was his place for living. He was sleeping inside the water. And this monster with five heads and five mouths, and he says that the description says when he came out of the water, he was blazing like the sun. So he was like an effulgent being with his trident and his big mouths and, you know, five heads. And how Krishna, you know, with his very incredible arrows, he just shot a bunch of arrows and filled up his mouth with all different arrows. Because he was bellowing loudly, and says that, you know, Mura's bellowing was a piercing out of space. And even in Vraja they could hear. And, you know, it was like some vibration with his mouth. This is one of his ways to bewilder his enemy. And then Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami, he describes this verse, that the first verse here, that these fierce warriors, they furiously attacked invincible Krishna. They had just witnessed their father being murdered and being killed. And so they were, you know, not only very fierce warriors, but they were enraged. So there was a lot of Shakti there. They came with all they had. And in the Nectar Devotion, Lord Chaitanya describes Sri Krishna, and that relates to this, because Krishna is always invincible, even in the, you know, so they came with all their power, they came with all their emotion, you know, their father had been killed, they came with everything they had, and they were like fierce warriors, but they were facing invincible Krishna. They can't get away from that one. So in the in this Madhya 2381, where is the verse? I have the verse here. So it goes like this. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. Avataravali bijam hatari gati dayakaha atmarama ganakarshiti ami krishne kaladvita. So it's like the source of all incarnations. The enemies killed by him, they give liberation. To those fully satisfied in themselves, he attracts. Thus these, in Krishna, they're certainly even more wonderful. So the actual translation is, so the five qualities of Lord Chaitanya mentioned in this verse, they are that the one, the Lord possesses inconceivable supreme power. He's a hero. Imagine this hero that is going around, and he has inconceivable supreme power. Two, he generates innumerable universes from his body. What power is that? He is the original source of all incarnations. And four, he bestows salvation upon enemies he kills. And five, he has the ability to attract exalted persons who are satisfied in themselves. And although these qualities are present in Narayan, they are even more wonderfully present in Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in the Krishna book, no, in the Nectar Devotion, and the qualities of Krishna. So I picked a few. that relate to this pastime. So clever, Krishna is clever. And the definition of a clever person is that a person who can perform various types of work at once. So here, just in the first verse, and the second, right? The first description of the Mura's seven sons, and then what did Krishna do? He these furious war attacked the invincible Lord Krishna with arrows, swords, spears, lance, tridents, with everything. But Krishna, with unfailing prowess, he cut this mountain of weapons into tiny pieces with his arrows. So there's no job too big that Krishna can do. So he's a person who can perform various types of work at once. He's clever. And he's also expert. Any person who can quickly execute a very difficult task is an expert. He just did. And he's determined. And his determination of the description is like, he went to a lot of trouble to secure the parijata flower for Satyabhama. And I want to, there's a conversation between Narada and Krishna in the Nectar Devotion, and Krishna is addressing Narada Muni, and he's saying, my dear great sage of the demigods, now you can declare to the devotees in general and to the non-devotees in particular that in this matter of taking the parijata flower, all the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Nagas, the demon Rakshasas, the Yakshas, the Panavas, they all tried to defeat me, but none could make me break my promise to my queen. So, you know, he was determined to get that tree out of there. It will come to this part of the story. And he's also steadfast. A steadfast is a person who continued to work until his desired goal was achieved. Keep going. And heroic. Srila Prabhupada's definition of heroic is a person who is very enthusiastic in military activities, an expert in releasing different kinds of weapons. So that's Srila Prabhupada's definition. Krishna is heroic. He's showing all these qualities in these verses. And he's all auspicious. Like Lord Chaitanya mentioned, he delivered one of those five qualities that he delivers his enemy. So a person who is always engaged in auspicious welfare activities for everyone, he's an all auspicious person. And Krishna is also powerful. Powerful is a person who can always put his enemy into calamities. So all these, it's part of human nature to worship heroes, to get excited over heroes. In our Western culture, we have Superman and Batman, and there's so many, we love to hear their stories over and over again. And there are comic books, there are TV shows, there are motion pictures, and not only one version, but there are like 10 versions of the same story or more. And, nowadays it's like, also have a Spider-Man, so many heroes that, so people love this, it's part of human nature to appreciate heroes and appreciate prowess. And, but what Krishna, the way Krishna is described here in this chapter is nothing but short of amazing. Krishna is just, his prowess is beyond anything that we can possibly compare. And after Indra, now going on with the verses, so now it's saying, it's describing how the Lord came with Garuda. That's the 15. So to get a little recap on that, how did Krishna got into Garuda? The Gopala Champu describes it very, very interestingly. So after Indra had made his request in Dwarka, immediately Sri Garuda appeared and Sri Krishna along with Satyabhama mounted the Lord's carrier. And I'm going to read to you how the conversation between Krishna and Indra. So when Indra came to So Krishna is talking to Indra. And Krishna said, touching Krishna's foot dust and putting it on his head, joyful of seeing his merciful glance, then they said, like the demigods with Indra, they said, our brother Garuda, deliverer of those in trouble, the snake eater, should be your sitting place when you go to defeat him. And Krishna said, how can humans like us use Narayan's seat? And so they said, while smiling, by our desire, the mood of Narayan will be very visible in you now. So this is, they're describing, this is the Gopala Champu it's in Braja's in Goloka Vrindavan. So there are those two people there telling the stories of Krishna, of the pastimes of Krishna and Gokula in earth. And so they're telling this to Nanda Maharaj's assembly. So when they said, you know, the mood of Narayana will be visible in you now. And then Krishna said, this should not be displayed in humans. And they said again, what you do not want will be possible. So this, for Nanda Maharaj to hear this, is like, oh, you know, the demigods made Krishna show up as Narayana. That's, you know, in his mind, that's how he's seen it. And then there's more. Because when Krishna, he mounted on Garuda and he went and, you know, he broke all those obstacles and the electrified fence and Mura, you know, started bellowing out. Imagine, you know, the five-headed Mura and Krishna's up there and is in Garuda. And this monster is just bellowing and they say that the sound was piercing the outer space. So all that's happening, it reminded me when I of Spider-Man, because I have kids and they all watched Spider-Man again, and you know, they like the heroes. And Spider-Man had a villain that was like an octopus. But that would not compare, you know, to Mura's prowess. But you know, but Krishna, he displaying his heroic and clever and expert and determined and steadfast and all auspicious and powerful qualities. So Krishna mounted Garuda with his wife, and the description here of what happens when Krishna manifests those two extra arms is interesting. So the messenger said, so Nanda is asking, then what happened? Then what happened? So when he mounted Garuda with his four weapons and departed, two more arms appeared on his body like reflections. Nanda said, we have understood that previously at Garga's name-giving ceremony, we have understood that. So by the mercy of Narayan, he shows similarity. Garga said, your child will have qualities like Narayan. So that's how Nanda is rationalizing in his head, hearing the story. And the messenger said, True, true. Such a bummer, seeing those extra arms. Touched them, and covering her mouth with her cloth, began to laugh privately. So, you know, I thought that was a nice insight, because, you know, she was used to, she was married to two-armed Krishna, and then all of a sudden, you know, she was like, what is this? Two more arms, are they real? So this is the setting here. And about that image that I was saying, that I wanted to put out to the artists, is that in this verse 15, when it describes like the Garuda, they are in the Gopala Champo, it says that, you know, they were very high up in the sky when this happened here. Because the Amura came, you know, Amura was not Amura, Narakasura was coming to attack. Oh, there's one more thing I want to say before that. I'm going to leave that for the end. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Krishna book that those elephants, they're described here as they're exuding mada from their foreheads. Prabhupada said that the elephants, they were intoxicated. And that was the only, because this is mentioned like in half a sentence in the Krishna book. But that was the one thing that does not have here or in the other books, is that Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, those elephants, they were intoxicated. And so Narakasura, you know, there was a very nice class before talking about, you know, he's the son of Bhumi. And he had this special weapon, this spear, called the Shatagni. So the Shatagni weapon, he was, you know, he saw all his generals, his, you know, the leaders of his army, they had just been slaughtered, just finished. Now their Krishna cut their arms, cut their legs, cut their heads, just separating all their limbs and heads from the trunk. I imagine that, you know, scene. And Narakasura, you know, he thought that he had all this, he was all that, with all that power. Because imagine, he had all those protection in the city. He had these fierce, you know, demons, these big monsters that protect his city. So, and then the his generals, they were all finished. So he was like, you know, he was dealing with some supernatural power. And so he wasn't, he was quite startled by that. There's a description of him. And so he came out with these elephants, and the elephants were very excited, so they were exuding this mada, it's like a creamy substance from their forehead. Kind of, I've never heard of that before. But yeah, so because those elephants, they were born from the milk ocean. So they were not just normal elephants, they were quite of a brew. And so when Narakasura saw all this, and then he looked at Krishna, that's when Krishna was up in the sky, and he looked at Krishna and Satyabhama, like the cloud, that's Krishna, the color of a rain cloud, and Satyabhama as lightning, so she was shining. They were sitting on Garuda. Garuda's big, and he was looked like the sun. He's like a golden bird. And so that image, I find it so beautiful and fascinating that I would love to see. Maybe our Krishna will be inspired to paint it. Because it's beautiful. It has such shakti. And yeah, so when Ben, you know, we are halfway through the story here. I'm not going to go beyond what's happening today, but this is it, when Narakasura charged with all that he had, all his weapons and his soldiers, and, you know, I leave it to the imagination what happened to them fighting the invincible Krishna. There's another part here that talks about this description of Narakasura. So the messenger said, this is a description in the Gopal Chandra. So they talk about glorifying Krishna, saying how, you know, you have understood correctly that what can happen, but it cannot be understood so clearly. That's the skill of Krishna. So, and then he came to the fortress city, which the Devatas could not enter. The fortress was surrounded by mountains, weapons, lakes, natural fire, insurmountable wind, and muses made by Muras, who could change their form at will. Seeing that fort while on Garuda, Krishna was amazed, and he made Satyabhama's hair stand on end for fun. And Krishna considered, I will enter this fort which the Devatas could not pass by riding on Garuda. By this trick he entered the fort, not by strength. Show of strength is for warriors. I should also show that. And Nanda Maharaj said, then what happened? And the messenger said, when he curiously entered the city from above, while traversing the whole city, he thought of smashing the fort completely. And Nanda said, oh, how did he do that? And the messenger said, first he began destroying the five elements. With his club, he smashed the mountains, and with his arrows, he pulverized the weapons. He submerged the earthly portions in the water tanks. Then with his chakra, he merged the water into fire, and the fire into air, and the air into ether, like make everything disappear. The mystic powers of Krishna. Some of the people of Raja said an amazing thing. What happened? And the messenger said, then he took the portions of earth, which were separated at 6,000 terrible muses with sharp points, and shredded them with his swords like cotton. After this, events occurred without a break. So we this is about, you know, two classes ago. So now, not only did the sound of his conch make the all weapons useless, it made the hearts of all the best men useless, since he was the cause of fear. He destroyed the walls with his club, Komodaki. The stones from the walls fell on the backs and limbs of the enemy and killed them. So, imagine, this is like an incredible scene. So a battle arose to cross the moats. The terrifying demon named Mura, who despised death itself, was sleeping in the oceanic moat. When Krishna blew his conch, while roving about, the demon woke up. Two things bewildered me in this event. This is the messenger saying. The bellowing of the conch and the sleeping Mura. The sound of the conch was equal to the thunder at the time of final devastation. Mura's sleep was also the shelter of complete destruction. When he rose from the water and stood with his trident. It appeared that five-headed Shiva was about to destroy the universe. Do I have your attention? Okay. So when he blocked the path with the fire arising from his anger, he appeared that fire and the sun, it appeared that fire and the sun were colliding at the time of annihilation. When he displayed his five heads, it appeared that Kalagni Rudra, extending his tongues to swallow everything, had appeared for causing catastrophe. When he ran forward as if to burn Garuda, it seemed that snakes had burst out of Rudra's chest. When he moved about and threw his trident at Garuda, bellowing loudly with his five mouths, you also could experience it. It spread throughout all the places in the universe, including Vraja. All the people in the assembly of Vraja, remembering previous incidents, they said, "What happened after that?" Because they knew that Krishna's activities were all super out of this world. So they're like totally focused. So the messenger said, "Krishna, who acts for the welfare of the devatas, simultaneously quelled all the disturbances and remained jovial. He cut Mura's trident in three pieces with two sharp arrows and stuffed the demon's mouths with five arrows of various shapes as if his mouths were quivers." Everyone said in astonishment, "Then what happened?" The messenger said, "The demon, desiring to show his skills, but actually desiring to die, threw his club at Krishna, but the club, though strong, was smashed to 1,000 pieces by Krishna's club. Then Krishna scattered his limbs by the power of his chakra, giving astonishment to all." And the Nanda said, "What happened?" And the messenger said, "Krishna then confronted Mura's seven sons, like elephants in the directions, exemplifying the elephants by showing pride. Their pride became more uncontrollable with the assistance of eight commanders in chief. He killed them also. Then Naraka, his pride deflated on seeing remarkable actions beyond human skill, felt hopeless. Seeing no alternative, he came in front with quickly moving troops and began fighting fiercely and fearlessly with all his hands. In that battle, Krishna shot all the enemies with his arrows." Now he talks about how Naraka's appearance. "Naraka had emerged from his fortress equipped with 10,000 hands like the ocean. Accompanied by unlimited troops, he hurled fiery arrows equipped with the shatagni, firing three arrows at each weapon simultaneously, in all directions. Krishna destroyed those weapons. Just by his glance, he destroyed the foreheads and other limbs of the warriors." So, this is interesting when he attacks Garuda. "So when the enemy troops moved crookedly like snakes, calculating that they were not violent, Krishna used Garuda to move close. By flapping his wings, Garuda dissipated Naraka's powers." Just by the flapping of his wings, the two powers merged so that Naraka could do nothing. When Naraka was about to hurl Shiva's invisible weapon, that was the shatagni, from a distance, Krishna destroyed it and destroyed Naraka's attractive forehead. Naraka could not understand where, how, when, why, what, or who did it. When Nataka died, the demons lamented and the devas rejoiced. And it goes on. This is like nectar upon nectar upon nectar. So this is what I wanted to mention today. It's, I hope you all enjoy these stories of Krishna. I certainly could be, you know, listening to this 24/7. I find it so, so enlightening. And I hope it was for you too. So, any questions or comments? Or corrections? Yes, Prabhu. I know. It's like, and I read these pastimes and I just get so absorbed in them. That's why I was just envisioning this. I really would like to see Krishna's rendition of it.
What I was remarking on it was that, you know, Krishna is doing all this, and there's Satyabhama sitting there with him, right? Protect her, plus protect himself.
Right, and she's seeing it firsthand how he's emptying, like, you know, the description that he emptied, he filled up Mura's mouth like if they were quivers. Can you imagine how fast, you know, and with all, you know, he's just kept shooting arrows, and the arrows are doing all these incredible things. Yes, for that? There was any mention of Nataka's father? No. Is the mic on?
Is it? It's on.
Okay.
Narakasura was the son of Mother Earth, Mother Earth is gave birth because of the touch of Lord Varaha, and she picked up the earth and left the ocean. And Chaitanya Bhagavat describes how he was a very pious king in the beginning of his life, but because of bad association, he became so divine. So it's described, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing how important association is, and how, of course, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the main quality of a devotee is that she gives up bad association, satsangacharya. Satsangacharya, a Vaishnava.
Right, thank you. Yeah, we can never underestimate the power of association. Nataka, you could say that he was a good king, and then by bad association, he became this demonic, and that he was like really challenging the material nature, trying to overlord everything, thinking that he could protect himself. But hey, invisible Krishna was on his way, in the back of Garuda with his wife, shining like lightning. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I was wondering what other pastimes were Krishna brought his queen to stand on him, but I just can't think of, you know, when his queens actually came with him. And did they ever participate in the battles? I mean, you know, Durga does a lot of fighting, but I don't know what Krishna's queens, even though they probably had Kshatriya type talents and abilities.
Well, in the Ananya Krishna Lila, I think Satyabhama is it. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the Brahma Lila, Kaikeyi, that's how she got her boons that she claimed at a very crucial time. She was his charioteer, Dasarath's charioteer, and she took care of his wounds and took care of him, and while he was, you know, she nursed him so he wouldn't die. So she was powerful as well. She was fearless, had that Kshatriya quality. So exciting, you know. We're so lucky that we have these, you know, Krishna perform his pastimes on earth in Gokula. Just so we have these accounts and we can just drown in this ocean of nectar. Hearing about his qualities, about his feats, it can keep us busy through our lives, keeping us out of trouble, so we don't have to dive in any material, temporary Superman stories. We have better stories to occupy ourselves with. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.